Blog Talk Radio.
November 18th, Wednesday night. That means you're listening to The Point Fantasy Football Show. Thank you for tuning in. I am Brandon Robertson, joined by Taha Rahman, and this is our Top Dogs episode. So we're going to recap NFL Week 10. We're going to dive into NFL Week 11, and we're going to give you guys some good advice. Talk about some waiver wire pickups. We're going to talk about top performers, and also just kind of really talk a little football. A lot of stuff going on, a lot to dive into, so let's not hold back. Taha, what's going on, man? How are you?
Man, nothing much, and for everyone that's listening to the show, if you hear a cool breeze in the background, that's because, you know, I haven't hit the $1 million, haven't won the $1 million on DraftKings yet, so I still got to have a 9-to-5. So I am driving home from work. What you hear is a man's hard work finishing up today. But when I win this $1 million, folks, I will not be doing this 9-to-5 no more. Promise you that much.
Taha is coming to you live straight at the end of his work day. So, we got him on the line, and, you know, we're going to make it work, people. That's how we do it, man. We get together and we make it work. So, you know, I mean, before we go into our top dogs and, you know, really just kind of wrap up Sunday and talk about, you know, surprises and what stuck out, you know, anyone that listens to the show knows that, you know, Taha's a Cincinnati Bengals fan, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, and Aaron's a Houston Texans fan, you know. So, you know, we have our teams, and, you know, we follow them. We're fans, but we're also a fan of football, you know. So we try to have balance between, you know, loving our team and being fair. So we're going to dive into the Monday night game that took place, the Cincinnati Bengals and Houston Texans. And I also want to dive into the Sunday game, Dallas Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Taha, do we still have you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, yeah, it kind of changed a little bit, but there we go, we're back. All right, so let's kind of talk about that Monday night game. Cincinnati Bengals and Houston Texans. Big game for the Texans. Primetime spot for the Bengals. You know, they come into the game undefeated. And really a surprising win by Houston in a low-scoring game. So, Taha, kind of talk to me about the Bengals and Texans game.
So, you know, with the Bengals and the Texans game, Brandon, you know, I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit, not as a fan, more as a person of watching football for so many years, and then as an analyst, okay? When you watch that game, the Bengals lost that game because they played a terrible game. The Bengals probably played their worst game of the season. No, not probably. They played their worst game of the season, and the Texans played their best game. That's what the bottom line. The team that plays the best will always win, okay? The better team doesn't always win, a la the Giants beating the Patriots for the Super Bowl. The best team that day won the game. Here's the thing that makes me upset about the whole game. That game happens, Brandon. Guess where all the fault falls under? Andy Dalton. Everyone's over here saying Andy Dalton can't win a big game. Andy Dalton was terrible. Andy Dalton this. Andy Dalton that. I actually beg to differ. It wasn't Andy Dalton's fault, Brandon. I mean, if you watch the game, Andy Dalton didn't have a great game, okay? And just to be, let's be quite frank about it. For your quarterback to have a great game every game out, that means your quarterback is Tom Brady. There's only one of those in the league, okay? People are going to have bad games. Aaron Rodgers had some bad games. He had two bad games in a row. people are going to have bad games. It's about how the team plays around you to win the game. Andy had an okay game. He didn't have a bad game. I think he had an okay game. He did enough to win the game. I think the person, if I had to put one blame on anybody, it was Tyler Eifert, Brandon. That was the guy. If Tyler Eifert catches two of the three drop balls in the fourth quarter, we win that game, folks. Those were all on third downs. We get the momentum going. We win that game. And, you know, who knows what happens if A.J. Green doesn't fumble that ball. I mean, I know for a fact, for all the Houston fans, after the Bengals got that first down on that 3rd and 18, they said, oh, we lost the game. I know as a Bengals fan, I said, oh, we got this game won. If A.J. didn't fumble that ball on the, later on in that drive on that fourth down, it might be a different situation. But I don't think Andy played a bad game. I just don't want the blame to be squished on Andy Dalton. I would, if I had to put blame on one person, it would be Tyler Eifert. But we played a terrible game. The Texans played a great game. And the last thing I'm going to say about that game, that J.J. Red Rifle, the red BB gun or whatever the case may be, you can see that was out of character. He didn't mean to say it. But all I know is if Greg Hardy made that comment, it would be, we would be still talking about it right now on ESPN, Stephen A. Smith, 1st and 10. I mean, every show possible. But it was J.J. Watt, folks, so we're not going to talk about that. Think about it. Just think, just take J.J. Watt out of there and put Greg Hardy in there. What do you think the media is saying, Brandon? You're a Cowboys fan. You tell me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a big issue. It's classless. It shows disrespect, and, I mean, they would go on and on and on.
But J.J. Watt says it, and it's like, he's a great competitor. You interviewed him right after the game. That's the response you get. So that's the double standard that is in the NFL. The media chooses who they want to protect, and the media chooses who they want to hate. That is kind of the bottom line. It literally is. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, that's Greg Hardy. He gets crucified on ESPN. I remember right after that comment, Scott Van Pelt on ESPN goes, you know, when Andy Dalton said, he goes, that comment was unnecessary, but it shows the character of J.J. Watt. That's the comment Andy said after the game, and Scott Van Pelt said, well, you should just play better. That was his response. But if that was Greg Hardy, he would be like, you're right, Andy Dalton. Greg Hardy is out of line. That's the stuff I don't understand. You got to be consistent. But, you know, it's J.J. Watt. He's on every commercial. Every other commercial is J.J. Watt. So it is what it is. But, I mean, the Texans won that game. For the Texans fan that all think you guys got the playoff in the wrap, you know, in the bag now, I promise you guys, if you guys come back to the jungle in the playoffs, it's going to be a rude awakening. Because the Bengals will make the playoffs. Texans, you guys still got a long hill to climb. That was your Super Bowl. You welcome.
I mean the media part, I 100% agree with you, and I mean it's kind of turning me off from watching ESPN because I feel like it's just so entertainment based, man. They don't really, I don't know, it just feels very scripted, very entertainment based, and just, you know, to say, oh, well, Andy Dalton can just play better, you know, because of J.J. Watt. But if it's another player, you know, then basically you have issue with – are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm still here.
Hey, you may want to mute if you're not – you may want to mute if you're not talking because I think we're getting background noise, and we'll just go in and out with it. We'll try to go back and forth. But, yeah, I mean, the ESPN, I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I mean, I just think they're, they just feel very, well, I know First Take with Stephen A. and Skip Bayless. I mean, they basically are for pure entertainment. I mean, they're not talking X's and O's. They're just highly opinionated. But, yeah, I do believe that J.J. Watt is shielded a bit. Now, in reference to Andy Dalton, I watch that game. I watch every snap. I'm going to be honest. The Bengals did not help out Andy Dalton. They did not do enough to help him out. They did not do enough to bail out their quarterback. You know, you're absolutely right. Quarterbacks will have off games. personally, I do not think Andy Dalton played terribly. I do think that in the run game, they did not take advantage of moving the chains. Way too many drops. I saw Tyler Eifert drop 3 to 4 balls. That's uncharacteristic. You know, A.J. Green with a critical fumble at the end of the game. Very uncharacteristic. I saw Gio Bernard drop passes out of the backfield. Marvin Jones, he showed some flares in the beginning, but some struggles there. Sanu, I mean, it was a bit out of character. So for me, I think the Bengals played their worst game of the season. The Texans, I don't think they played their best game. I think they played well enough to win defensively. They made some critical plays defensively. Offensively, though, they're still a bit inept. They can't run the ball. Alfred Blue is oh, my God. I mean, he, whatever. You know, they use Blue, Polk, Grimes. They still can't run the ball. Hopkins had to basically make miraculous catches to get them going. And you're right. If they think they're just going to march into the playoffs, I mean, hold the phone. I mean, Brian Hoyer gets injured. You know, that's not good. You bring in T.J. Yates, who's a guy that was, you know, dropped by the Texans and then dropped by Atlanta. And I heard today they signed Brandon Wheaton, quarterback that was just dropped by Dallas Cowboys. So, I mean, that tells me that Hoyer may be a little bit more banged up, than we think. You know, so it's an uphill battle for the Texans. I mean, they got to figure out that run game and the quarterback position. But defensively, they made the plays. But like I said, you know, Cincinnati, they're a talented team. They're a good team. And they've been undefeated, man. They've been undefeated, and they play amazing every week. And I don't care who you are. Even the Patriots have had a tough game. You know, they've been able to find a way to win at the end, which is, in my opinion, I think the Bengals on that last drive, they were going to win the game. You know, we were all watching the game together. I was talking shit, and I actually made the comment. I said, you know what, Tyler Eifert has played terribly. I believe on his last drive, he is going to catch the game-winning touchdown. And I stand by it. I believe if A.J. Green, if he's down and doesn't fumble that ball, I think they end that drive with a Tyler Eifert touchdown. I mean, what do you think about that, Tyler?
I agree 100%. If it goes in the red zone, it's going to Tyler Eifert for the touchdown. And, you know, people think, oh, well, Andy Dalton just can't win the game. Tell you guys something. Game one of the season, Baltimore has his beat. Steve Smith catches the touchdown. Andy Dalton comes back with 90 seconds on the clock to win that game. Versus the Steelers, we're down 21 points in the second half. Andy Dalton marches down the field to win that game. Versus the Seahawks, we're down 21 points. Andy Dalton comes back in the fourth quarter, and Andy Dalton has the winning drive. So he went 3 for 4. I will take 3 for 4 any day of the week. He's been playing amazing. If A.J. doesn't drop that ball, the next play is Tyler Eifert up the middle on Brian Cushion for 6. There's no question about it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like I said, Eifert had a lot of drops. It was very uncharacteristic. And the thing about it is that Eifert was open. They could not check him. They couldn't check him. I mean, they had a hard time with him. He's a mixed match. And he had a bad game, man, and it happened. You know, the thing that you hope is that, all right, he had that bad game. They had the bad game. It's over with. It's done with. You won't see it again, you know. But, I mean, it was a huge win for the Texans, you know, and I think in the position at the end, they can't afford to you got to enjoy victories, but you also got to figure out, all right, man, we can't hope the next team that we play has their worst game of the season and we luck up again. Because, I mean, they made some plays defensively, you know, the miraculous catch by Hopkins offensively, but they just got a lot going on. And, you know, speaking of their quarterback position, like I said, Brian Hoyer likely out for week 11. He got banged up in the game. And also DeAndre Hopkins, he missed practice today. He injured his knee. So they definitely cannot afford to not have both their starting quarterback and starting wide receiver. So, you know, the thing about some of those wins, you can end up sacrificing big players, and they cannot afford to play without those two. So we'll definitely see what happens. But, you know, like I said, overall, primetime game, Monday night, it just is what it is, man. We've seen strange things happen on Mondays and Thursdays. That's just kind of how it goes. You know, that's the NFL. But, you know, Bengals, they'll make playoffs easily. The Texans, they got a shot. You know, they got to clean some things up, and it'll be right there. The Sunday game, you know, I watched the you know, Dallas and the Buccaneers game. You know, I'm watching that game, and you know, I look at the NFL. The NFL is such an offensive-driven league. And if you can put up points offensively, I just think you're asking to lose if you keep putting your defense in a position to stop offenses. You know, a lot of fans look at the last drive of the game and they're like, oh, well, the defense couldn't stop them. Well, yeah, but the defense stopped them, you know, 22 times out of 24 plays, right? I mean, it's so you can't continuously keep asking these defenses who basically have their hands tied behind their back against these explosive offenses, hey, man, we need you to stop them again, stop them again, stop them again. You cannot win a game kicking two field goals. That's 6 points. One touchdown trumps that, you know. So I watched the Buccaneers and the Cowboys game, and once again, you know, Cowboys defense, you know, bending, not breaking, forcing Winston to make bad plays, holding them to touchdowns, and basically coming out to the last drive of the game. And on top of that, getting a stop and a very, in my opinion, extremely questionable call, a holding call at the end of the game. And the reason why it's questionable, because in a passing situation, yes, that can be called as holding. However, Jameis Winston crossed the line of scrimmage and was now a runner. Okay, he was running and advancing the ball towards the end zone. Now, it's not a passing play. It is a run play. And in a run play, that's not a hold call that you call on safety. I mean, I just think it was a weak call. It was really shitty. And on top of that, Winston fumbles the ball on the freaking goal line. Like, he jumps, and as he jumps, the ball falls right in front of the goal line. So he doesn't even score. And that's a stop. That's a, you know, that's basically, that should have been ball game. But then you get the holding call, and the next play they do a naked bootleg. So I'm like, okay, you got that call. It is what it is. Okay, now you got to drive down the field and make a play. Dallas gets the ball. They're driving down the field. They throw a bomb to Dez Bryant. Now let me tell you something, people. I played cornerback in high school. I know what a pass interference looks like. I've had it called on me many a time. I've gotten away with it many a time. As a defender, if my arms extend and I'm touching the back of an offensive player's jersey as the ball's in the air and it's catchable, that's PI. And any referee that's in position is calling that all day. They're calling it all day. But guess what? In the Tampa Bay game, they don't call it. And it's very hard for me to understand what's going on with this officiating. I don't know what a catch is anymore. I don't know what hold it is anymore. And now I don't know what a freaking pass interference is. And it's just, it's ridiculous. And if you listen to this and you're like, oh, you know what, you're just taking up for the Cowboys. No, guess what? This is happening to multiple teams every Sunday. It is ridiculous. Did you see the Patriots and the Giants game? Did you see Odell Beckham catch the ball, put down 2 feet, and then as he turns around, the defender knocks it out of his hand? Okay, so what's the difference between that and a defender sticking the ball over the a quarterback sticking the ball over the end zone and it being knocked out of his hand instantly? If you say it broke the plane. So it's like we don't know what a catch is. We don't know what a touchdown is. I mean, the rules are just ridiculous. I mean, Ty, did you see the Giants game? I mean, it is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I watched, you know, I was watching all the games, the Giants game and all of that stuff. let me tell you something. That play on Dez Bryant, I do not like the Cowboys. Let me tell everybody on the show, I do not like the Cowboys. That was pass interference. There is no question that Dez Bryant was pass interference. That ball should be at the 1 yard line, and Darren McFadden should punch it in for the touchdown. That should be the game, Brandon.
Yep.
There's no question that was pass interference. That was pass interference as clear as day, but you're right. If you extend your hands and you hit the back of the wide receiver, that's pass interference. You know why? Because they're calling offensive pass interference when the offensive receiver, if they push the cornerback and go up and get the ball, they're calling offensive pass interference. Got to go both ways. If you're going to swallow the whistle on that play, they needed to swallow the whistle on the play when Jameis Winston fumbled. But they didn't. You know what I'm saying? It's got to go both ways. If you're going to say, well, we just let him play, that's fine. You cannot call that play that they called on Jameis Winston. I mean, on the Cowboys when Jameis Winston fumbled. If you're going to swallow the whistle, swallow it all the way. Because the one on Dez Bryant, that's a fumble. I mean, that's a pass interference. You have to put the ball at the 1 yard line. And then you got to put it up to Tampa Bay to stop the Dallas. I think with the time left, Dallas was going to get 3 cracks of the end zone, B. Am I right on that?
Yep.
How much time they had
yep.
left? So now you got to put Tampa Bay where they got to stop it. So I'm with you. I agree 100%. I mean, that was pass interference. And then number two, the rule of a ball being complete and making a football play on what's a catch in the end zone and what's a catch out of the end zone, that needs to be changed. This has been a problem for the last 5 years. When Calvin caught that ball versus Green Bay, remember on Monday night, he got two
yep.
knees down, he got two elbows down, and then he laid the ball down and the ball came out and they said no catch. You remember that play? That was infamous.
Oh, yeah.
There cannot,
oh, yeah. I remember it.
There cannot be two different rules from in the end zone, outside the end zone. It's got to be the same on what is a catch. Because catching a ball in the end zone is the same as catching a ball not in the end zone. And if you're going to say breaking the plane is a touchdown, it's got to go all the way around. I agree with you 100%. It's got to be uniform. You cannot, because of the situation and the circumstances, have a different call for different measures because you're putting too many variables there. And the officials, referees, are supposed to officiate the game. They're not supposed to determine the game. Because if they're going to determine the game, why do we watch football? Let them just do heads or tails. Whoever wins that wins the game.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to have uniform rules across the board. It can't change. I agree with you 100%. Dallas got screwed, but listen, they got 6 games left. The NFC least, okay? I mean, Philadelphia loses that game, okay? They get walked down. So the NFC least, they have a chance. Tony Romo's back. Dez Bryant's back. And a lot of people are falling off the Darren McFadden bandwagon because they're saying Darren, this is fantasy relevant, right? They're saying Darren McFadden doesn't have a lot of value because of Tony Romo coming back. I think it's actually the opposite. With Tony Romo back, they're not going to stack the box with 8, and you're going to see Darren McFadden bust more longer runs. And if I remember correctly, Lance Dunbar is out for the season, which means that their third down back is Darren McFadden, which can catch the ball out of the backfield. And in a PPR league, his value goes up. Because Tony, if he doesn't see it downfield, he will check down to Darren McFadden, folks. He will do it. He's a veteran quarterback. He knows the importance of check down. And I think Darren McFadden's value goes through the roof with Tony Romo coming back. That's my opinion. I don't know what your opinion is on the matter on that.
Well, no, I mean, you're right. I mean, the evidence was last year. I mean, let me tell you something. Everyone looks at DeMarco Murray in Philly, and they're like, oh, well, DeMarco Murray is not, you know, playing the way in Philly the way he did in Dallas. You know why? Because he doesn't have Tony Romo or Dez Bryant on the team. I mean, I think Tony Romo helped Darren McFadden value for the same reasons that you say, but also because of, guess what? You got to worry about Dez Bryant now. You have to worry about Jason Witten. You have to worry about Cole Beasley. Now you have to worry about their offense and these guys getting involved. You have to worry about Escobar. You got to worry about Terrence Williams. You just have more options. And as a defensive player, you want your defense. Now, I'll put it like this. How can I say this? As a defensive player, when you're playing an offense, you want an offense to be vanilla. You want it to be simple. You don't want it to be versatile. You don't want it to do too many things. Because if they don't do a lot of things, you can just react, you can play fast, and you can stop them. But if they're an offense that's versatile and they can do multiple things, then you're up shit creek. You don't know who to cover. You don't know what to look for. It's just too much. And so now when teams play Dallas, they have to account for a lot of different things. So I think McFadden's value goes up, in my opinion. I don't see how his value goes down. It's not like they're going to throw the ball every down. They're not built like that. They're a run-first team. They are built to run the ball, and that's how they had success last year. Now, I don't know if you heard this, but they signed former Seattle and Cleveland Brown running back Robert Turbin today, and he was at practice. So, you know, if anything, I could see McFadden get the bulk of the carries and then Robert Turbin being brought into the mix. But by no circumstances do I see Dallas, you know, not running the ball. They're just not built for that.
And I think what you were trying to say, Brandon, you know, you play cornerback, I play defensive end, and what you want is to be, you want the offense to be predictable. When I play D end, I don't want to be put in a situation where it's second and seven, and I'm in a position where I'm blitzing, and I'm like, is the quarterback going to throw it, or is this a play action?
Yep.
When you have doubt in your mind, when you play defense, you lost. Do you understand what I mean? You lost. If you're going to blitz, do it all the way. If you're going to play coverage, do it all the way. Don't be caught in between, because when you're getting caught in between, you give up 80-yard bombs, okay? And this is the honest truth about the Cowboys. I can tell you by the formation, by the situation, if it's going to be a run or a pass. And I'm not in the NFL, folks, and they don't pay me millions of dollars to figure that shit out. So they got defensive coordinators that are better than me at this because they have stats backing what I'm feeling. So they go and they call the middle linebacker, Sean Lee or whoever's playing it, and be like, they're passing. Sit back. So you don't want to be caught in between. The Cowboys are in a situation where defense can guess, okay, McFadden's going to run. Doesn't matter if you put an extra tight end there and stuff like that. Defense will always have an extra guy on top of you. When you put Dez Bryant in there, and you have Tony Romo, who's a veteran quarterback, you always have that option. They can go with the goal line set, but Tony can check out of it and go play action deep to Dez Bryant. That thought is always in the back of your mind if you're a safety. What does that do? That prevents you from creeping up two steps, Brandon. And what does that do?
Yep.
That two steps is 60 yards, folks. I don't think you guys understand. That two steps is that one cutback for Darren McFadden for 60 yards. That's how close the games are when you add a quarterback to it.
Yep. Yep, you're 100% right, 100% right. Defense, you want to play fast and loose. The more you think, the more you process, the more information you think about, it slows you down. That's why if you look at these stud defensive players that come out of college and they have a good year in the NFL, if you talk to them in their second and third year where they're really playing well, you know what they all tell you? They tell you that the game slowed down for them. The game seems slower. The game seems more manageable. Because when they first got to the NFL, it's so fast, so many things are going on, they're thinking, and they're not playing to their natural ability, they're not playing fast, they're not playing loose. Look at Luke Kuechly in his second year. I mean, it was like, we knew the guy was good, but holy shit, I mean, his second year, he's amazing, because the game got slower, and he could play faster. And this is kind of how it works. You look at any of the great linebackers, Navarro Bowman, you know, Kiko Alonso, he was just rare. He just had an amazing rookie year. But if you look at them slowing down the game, Ryan Shazier, Khalil Mack, you know, the list goes on and on. You know, but, you know, in my opinion, Darren McFadden, I think his value, it can only go higher. And, you know, he's been a productive running back. It can only get better. You know, so I wouldn't just, you know, jump ship or get rid of Darren McFadden. So So we'll get a chance to see how that plays out. You know, we got a pretty good list of top dogs this week, and I'm going to go ahead and jump into our top dogs. We're going to go to the quarterbacks first. You know, we have our top five quarterbacks, and interesting enough, our number one has topped this list before. He's been on it before, and he's led it before, and I'm starting to see a trend here. And the guy is still only owning 33% of Yahoo League. So, Kyle, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I think it just had an echo or something. We'll probably have to do the mute until you talk. Yeah, so what we'll do, we'll go into our number five. So coming in at number five for quarterback, we have the Chicago Bear gunslinger himself, Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler comes in at number five at a little over 36 fantasy points. Found the end zone three times. A little over 250 yards, so not a big, heavy yardage game for Jay Cutler. He's usually a 300-yard passer, but he came in 258, still found the end zone. Actually tacked on some rushing yards, had a little over 20, almost 25 rushing yards. So kind of rare for Jay. He ran the ball three times, so good for Jay. Coming in at number four, I think this is the first time on the list, Baltimore Ravens quarterback Joe Flacco. Flacco is like one of those Jekyll Hyde type quarterbacks. He either gives you 40 or 12. And so he's very inconsistent. He's a good NFL quarterback, but for fantasy, you just stay away from him like the plague. But what I find interesting about Flacco, he's owned 62% in Yahoo leagues, but our number one guy is only on in 33% of Yahoo leagues. And so I'll definitely address him as we go through the list. But Flacco, 316 passing yards, three touchdowns, you know, he completed 34 of his passes. So good day for Flacco. Coming in number three. Now, this was, I don't want to say surprising, but I always feel like when all of the fantasy experts agree on one guy, I think it's the kiss of death. You know, the majority of fantasy outlets in the country said that number three would basically be the top quarterback. He would just put up so many yards, so many touchdowns. And, I mean, he really had a bad game. And the majority of his points came in garbage time. I was wrong. All the fantasy pundits were wrong. Number three, Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. He scores a little over 37 fantasy points. He completed the ball 35 times. However, I want to say he threw it a little over 55 times, which is way too much in one game. And to throw the ball 55 times, only complete over 30 completions, 316 yards. I mean, Aaron Rodgers can do 333 yards. Aaron Rodgers can do 333 yards in his sleep. He only found the end zone twice, eight rushing yards on two attempts. I mean, it was just a bad game. And I want to say he got the majority of his points really on the last two drives. So just garbage time. But Rodgers right now is struggling. I mean, that whole offense is struggling. They bench Eddie Lacy. Randall Cobb has just been in witness protection. And, you know, if you listen to the Wednesday show last week, Aaron and I, you know, talked about their receiving core. You know, they went ahead and did research on their receivers and pulled up all these stats. And the Green Bay Packers have the slowest wide receiver core in the NFL. And, you know, they're just having issues getting separation. So we'll see if Aaron can bounce back. Number two. An amazing performance, and I saw that he was made the offensive player of the week. This guy was not even supposed to play Sunday. He came in relief for the backup that was playing for him, and so he didn't even play a full game, still managed to put up a little over 40 fantasy points. He found the end zone three times, 379 yards, and a two-point conversion. Ben Roethlisberger, the guy's not even 100%, may have been 70%, but he still had an amazing day throwing the ball. So just a really shocking performance. And I'm pretty sure no one picked that guy in daily fantasy sports. I mean, he wasn't supposed to play. He was just a backup. So a huge day for him. And then number one, Washington Redskins quarterback Kirk Cousins. He does it again. 43.56 fantasy points, 4 touchdowns, 324 yards, 20 completions. Basically, they blew the Saints out and just took their foot off the pedal. But Kirk Cousins, I mean, I don't get it, man. I mean, he did it again. You know, he did it again. And I'm really starting to, you know, kind of pay attention to this guy. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to get sucked into it because he can put up a stinker, but he put up some pretty big games. So Todd, tell me, in this list of quarterbacks, man, who stands out to you?
Before I talk about the guy that stands out for me, I'm going to talk about Kirk Cousins. Folks, Kirk Cousins, you have to really look at him because his coach is Jay Gruden. Andy Dalton was that guy his second year with Jay Gruden. This is Kirk Cousins' second year with Jay Gruden. 16 games, because you guys got to remember, you got to take into consideration game played as the starter. Kirk Cousins just getting to 16 games as a starter. So, like, last week when he went off and then this week he went off, that's 2 weeks in a row he was the number one quarterback because they had a bye week in between, is basically his second year with Jay Gruden. He's understanding the philosophy of what Jay Gruden's trying to do. Andy Dalton came from nowhere. He was a guy that was a game manager, people were saying, made a lot of mistakes, a lot of turnovers, and then every year he got better. Jay Gruden is grooming Kirk Cousins like Andy Dalton. If you look at them side by side, they look like the same quarterback with their raw abilities. So Kirk Cousins is someone you need to look at. The guy that sticks out the most for me, though, Brandon, is Ben Roethlisberger. You remember after week one, I said, this guy's going to win the MVP. And I truly believe after that performance, if he wasn't hurt, we wouldn't be talking about Tom Brady, Tom Terrific, as much as we would be talking about Big Ben. I'm a Bengals fan, so in my DNA, I have to hate the Steelers. And for me to say Ben Roethlisberger is the best quarterback in the league, I truly believe it. He has the weapons, okay? He has the weapons, and now the weapons are falling apart. He didn't have Le'Veon Bell the first 2 weeks, and he still tore it up. He had Antonio Brown, right? He didn't have Martavis Bryant the first 2 weeks. He just had Antonio Brown. He still tore it up, Brandon. And now he gets another weapon back, Martavis Bryant and Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown catches 2 touchdowns. Martavis catches 1 touchdown. They both go off. Just imagine if you throw Le'Veon Bell into the mix. D'Angelo Williams is doing a good job filling in, but let's not kid ourselves. D'Angelo Williams is not Le'Veon Bell. But Ben has a lot of weapons there, folks. And then guess what? If you try to take one of those wide receivers out of the game, he has his old faithful in Heath Miller. That offense is fun to watch, and it's all because of Ben Roethlisberger. This guy came in relief. Mike Tomlin did not want to play Ben Roethlisberger one snap last week. And it wasn't because Ben couldn't play. It's because it was the Cleveland Browns, and he wanted to give Big Ben another week of break because they had a bye week that would have given 2 weeks in a row, and then Ben would be 100% for the last 6 games. But Ben came in and did what Ben did. He looked amazing. And for all those Antonio Brown owners, a.k.a. me and everybody else that listens to this show, you felt like you won the lottery when Landry Jones got hurt. You never want a player to get hurt. And you saw that sexy man, Big Ben, walk in there, and you knew you were okay for one more week. Big Ben just made everyone feel good inside, okay? And we don't have to worry about, is that injury serious? It's not, folks. He came in and just slashed the Browns like he was mad at them. Big Ben was the most that was the quarterback performance that blew me away last week.
Yeah. I mean, when Landry goes down, you know, I'm thinking, oh, this can't be real. Like, he'll shake it off. He'll be okay. And then all of a sudden you see Big Ben take his cap off. Like, holy shit. They're putting in Ben Roethlisberger. And it's just like, and I own Martavis Bryant. So I'm getting a little pumped up because I'm like, oh, shit. Ben going to sling it. I'm like, all right, now we're going to get some passes going, you know. So, Yeah, I mean, I was shocked, but I mean, that's Big Ben, man. He's a gamer. He's a tough SOB. And if he's able to dress, 9 times 10, he's able to play. And that's just amazing, man. I know they made him Offensive Player of the Week, which they should, but I don't think he got enough credit or enough praise for what he did. I mean, that was just spectacular. That was big time, man. That was definitely big time. So that stood out to me the most. But all right, so a good list of QBs. Got our QBs down. So now we're going to go to our running backs. And the running back list, pretty interesting point that I wanted to kind of talk about or bring up with the running back list after we go through it. So coming in at number 5 for the running backs, Miami Dolphins running back Lamar Miller, a little over 21 fantasy points. Not a big rushing day for him. I mean, only 43 rushing yards. But, you know, if you own him in a PPR, he was targeted 8 times in a passing game. He caught 6 of them for 50 yards and a touchdown. You know, so he didn't break 100 yards from scrimmage, but he did find the end zone, caught 6 passes, and was about 7 yards away from 100 total. So a decent day, man. I mean, I just think overall running backs didn't do much this weekend. So this is why these small numbers got him in top 5. Going to number 4, kind of a similar stat line to Lamar Miller. 56 rushing yards, 3 receptions. However, it was 3 receptions for 131 receiving yards and a touchdown, and that's Washington running back Matt Jones. I mean, you know, this guy, he scored the most points from the running back position, but he didn't get the most carries or snaps. I think that went to Alfred Morris. But, I mean, he was really productive in the passing game, and he housed one of them for it looked like about 70 to 80 yards. But, I mean, he's just he's a threat. He's explosive. So he had a really good day. Now, number 3 was a kind of a old-fashioned running, rushing stat line. Adrian Peterson from Minnesota Vikings. I mean, a little over 200 rushing yards in one game. I mean, AP, yeah, he's still amazing. It's still safe to say that guy's amazing. 26 rushing attempts. And with this, all this running back by committee bullshit that we see, I can't remember the last time I saw a running back get the ball over 25 times. So not only did he looks like he led in he did lead in rushing, but he also led in rushing attempts. I mean, he was given the ball 26 times, 203 yards, and a touchdown. And this is what the running back by committee does. It doesn't allow running backs to get that high volume, you know, touches, you know. So AP is still very valuable from a fantasy standpoint. Now, number 2 and 1, really want to talk about them. I'm just going to combine together. Number 2 running back for Kansas City Chiefs, Charkandrick West. Number 1 running back for the Chicago Bears, Jeremy Langford. Now, both of these guys are backups to 2 amazing running backs. You know, West is backing up Jamaal Charles, Langford backing up Matt Forte, right? Charkandrick West, a little over 31 fantasy points. Langford, a little over 37 fantasy points. Now, neither one of them rushed for over 100 yards. They both found the end zone from a rushing standpoint and a receiving standpoint, which I think is still amazing. But neither one of them rushed for over 100 yards. However, both of them almost broke the 100-yard mark in receiving. Langford had 109. West had 92. So this is what I take away from this list. You know, looking at guys like Langford, West, and even Matt Jones, right? If you're drafting one of these top, tip-top running backs like Forte, Charles, Bell, Lynch, any guy that's going to be top 5, top 10 running back, especially if he has like an injury history, like a McCoy or something like that, you have got to handcuff them. I personally have never been a big fan of the handcuff. I like to use that position for depth and find another starter, maybe a lower grade one. But next year I may have to rethink this handcuff thing, man, because think about it. Langford, I mean, he's been really good the last 2 weeks. I mean, this guy's been helping win fantasy games. 32 this week, 25 last week. And in Charkandrick West, he went his last three games, 31 fantasy points, 22 fantasy points, 20 fantasy points. These guys are money, and they're backups. I mean, so if you grab them on free agency, you hit the lottery. So, I mean, so Ty, what do you think about the handcuff and these backup running backs?
Well, you know, I think the handcuff is a good tool, but you can't have a team full of handcuffs, you know. Now, this Jeremy Langford, 3 weeks ago when Forte got hurt, right, remember we were on this show and I said, this guy is only owned in 30% of leagues. What the hell are you guys doing? Go pick him up.
Yep.
Stop starting C.J. Anderson. Start this guy. He is going to get balls out of the backfield. He's going to catch the ball. He's going to do it. And he's done 30 points 2 weeks in a row. And Charkandrick was another guy. You know, I am in a league where we use fab dollars, you know, for free agency. When Charkandrick was available, I spent 100 fab dollars on Charkandrick. And I have 200 for the year. And everybody in my league says, well, that was the dumbest move I've ever seen. Since Charkandrick has been on my team, I have been undefeated, folks. His first week, he gave 4 points. Everybody said, drop Charkandrick. He is not the guy. And ever since that, he's been a 20-point guy, folks. Hold on to running backs. They're premium. And if you are in a PPR league and you draft a running back in the first round that can't catch the ball out of the backfield, you are just straight stupid. Because
yep.
The days of, I mean, the only one that is maybe a person you take in the first round that doesn't catch the ball out of the backfield is Adrian Peterson, but I still think that's stupid. You need a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. Because Adrian Peterson, out of a running back standpoint, had 200 yards rushing and a touchdown. And he still came in number three to Charkandrick and Jeremy Langford. What does that tell you, folks? You catch the ball out of the backfield, you have a shot. LeSean McCoy had a great ball game on Thursday night. He's not even in the top five because he didn't catch as many balls as Lamar Miller and those other guys that are on the top dogs. You have to get a running back that catches the ball out of the backfield to be competitive. You cannot just have that single guy. And this goes to the Cincinnati Bengals. Everybody that drafted Jeremy Hill, you see Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard are splitting carries right down the middle. But in fantasy realm, who's the guy you rather have on your team? Gio Bernard, because he can catch the ball out of the backfield. That's what you got to do. You got to get these dual threat running backs because that's what the game is going to. The bubble screens, you know, all of these stuff. You have to do it. That's how you keep the defense honest. Before the rule was you run the ball to keep the defense honest to set up the play action fake, right? Play action fake doesn't work if you just run the ball down the middle and then cornerbacks and safeties now run 4.3s, folks. They're not running 4.7s. So they can make up that two-step hesitance that you get them on a play action. So you got to do bubble screens. You got to keep them honest that way. You got to get dual through a quarterback, wide receiver, running backs. No questions about it.
Yep. And, I mean, just to kind of back up what Taha said, as of now, the top five running backs in fantasy when it comes to scoring, three of them lead all running backs in receptions. That's Devontae Freeman, Mark Ingram, and Danny Woodhead. Think about that. The top five running backs in fantasy, right? Three of them, it's all about receptions. Freeman has 48, Ingram has 40, Woodhead has 45, okay? If we had to do a redraft, Ingram, Freeman, Woodhead, they're not sniffing the first five rounds. They're not sniffing it. I mean, not even close. I mean, now, Freeman, we couldn't have predicted it. Ingram has value. Woodhead has value. But, you know, like you said, if you're in a PPR, dude, Danny Woodhead, and, you know, I mean, he's got to be like your first. Not your first, but, I mean, he's got to be up there, you know, because you knew he was going to catch a lot of passes. That's what he does. You know, but, I mean, guys like Woodhead, even the guy that got injured in New England before he went out, Deion Lewis, he has 36 receptions. I mean, the guy catch a lot of passes. Matt Forte, another one. He's been targeted almost 40 times. He has 25. Now, he's been banged up and hurt. But, you know, these pass-catching running backs and PPRs, they're gold. I mean, they're so important. But yeah, just wanted to back up that stat that he was throwing out there, which that's pretty solid. But, yeah, these I don't know, man. Like, these running backs, it's just amazing. This Chark Hendrick and Jeremy Langford, I mean, these dudes are putting up huge fantasy numbers. And, I mean, basically, whoever got them off the waiver wire, you're winning right now. You know, I was lucky enough to get Langford in one of my leagues. I kind of balked at West because I didn't think he would do well, but I mean, he is doing damn well, and now I've kicked myself in the ass because I didn't get him. But I mean, these guys, injuries are just so big. So going forth, it's like, who's going to be the next big injury? Because we know it's coming, all right? I mean, we've been seeing it all season, so we know it's coming. We just don't know who it's going to be. All right, so we're going to move to the wide receivers just for the sake of time and kind of get things wrapped up. All right, so coming in at number five, very unlikely name on the top dog list. Wide receiver for the Seattle Seahawks, Doug Baldwin, comes in at 26.4 fantasy points. Doug was targeted 10 times for 7 receptions, 134 receiving yards, and a touchdown. The biggest day of the season for Doug Baldwin. I mean, this is big numbers for him. Number four, Martavis Bryant for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We just talked about his quarterback. He comes in at 27.8 fantasy points, 10 targets, 6 receptions, almost 200 receiving yards for a touchdown, and he fumbled, and he still put up damn near 30 fantasy points. So big day for Martavis Bryant. Number three, again, another big weekend, and he's starting to show up. Him and Drew Brees are starting to get on the same page. Wide receiver Brandon Cooks, 27.9 fantasy points, 8 targets, 5 catches, 2 touchdowns, almost 100 yards receiving, and he ran the ball once for 11 yards. So he's just a very he's a threat. I mean, they really need to utilize him more. Number two is unlikely. I don't think we've heard his name in a long, long time. This is by far his best game of the season. And let's see if he could do it again. But Arizona Cardinals wide receiver Michael Floyd. Michael comes in at 30 fantasy points, 9 targets, 2 touchdowns, 7 receptions for 113 yards. Big game, and that was against the Seattle secondary. So that was a legit performance, probably the biggest performance they've given up this year. And number one, two guys from the same team, Antonio Brown, Pittsburgh Steelers, a little over 37 fantasy points, almost at 38, 14 targets, 10 receptions, 139 receiving yards, 2-point conversion, and 2 touchdowns. He continues to be wide open when he is the most dangerous man on the field. Taha, please tell me, how does Antonio Brown continue to get open?
He's the best wide receiver in the league because of his route running. There's not a better route running. He is Jerry Rice when it comes to route running, but faster. Yeah, I've said it. It is a true fact. If Jerry Rice in his prime lined up next to Antonio Brown, Antonio Brown walks away from Jerry Rice. And every defensive back in the league will tell you Antonio Brown is the best route runner. He does the jerk route. He sets you up. He is a smart receiver. He studies the game. He sets you up from the time you start the game. The first five play of the game, all he does is button hook, button hook, button hook. He makes you bite on that button hook, and that's how he gets a 60-yard touchdown. That guy doesn't take plays off. If you could just watch a game in rewind and just watch Antonio Brown and just see how he runs every play like he's going to get the ball, that's why he's the best. And last week with, Ben Roethlisberger, and then he wins out, he goes 40 points, right, Brandon? This week
yep.
He goes high 30s. This is why we talked about him in our preseason ranking, Antonio Brown in a PPR league, when we did our ranking, to be the number one player in our ranking. And in the beginning, we were like, in the beginning he looked good, and then Ben went out, and we were like, uh-oh. But guess what? If he keeps putting these performances out when the season's ended, he will be the number one player because this guy is amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, he's killing it. I mean, point-wise, I mean, he's just killing it, man. And what's scary is that he hasn't had his quarterback consistently the whole season. I mean, he is just killing it. Right now, he is the top scoring wide receiver in fantasy. Julio Jones is like 7 to 8 points behind him. And DeAndre Hopkins is about 20, 21 points behind him. But those are the top three wide receivers in fantasy, and Odell Beckham and Larry Fitzgerald rounding out the top five. So, you know, Fitzgerald reemerging, Odell Beckham, we kind of, you know, expected him to be here. DeAndre Hopkins is a surprise. I mean, he is he's been really, really good this year. And Matthew Berry, beginning of the year, came out and said Julio Jones would finish as the top wide receiver in fantasy. He's there. He's 8 points from it. he hit a bit of a slump. But Antonio Brown is just amazing, man. I mean, he just does so much. I mean, he even has 28 rushing yards on the year. Julio has been targeted more than him, and Julio has one more catch. But Antonio Brown, I mean, he's just made the most out of his catches, though. Julio Jones has a little over 1,000 yards. Antonio Brown has a little over 1,140 yards. I mean, so he's making the most of his catches. I mean, he's just explosive, man. He is a very dangerous wide receiver. Very, very dangerous. All right, so now we go to our tight ends, and the tight end position this week was very disappointing, with the exception of, you know, one guy that, you know, pretty much we always expect him to show up. Another guy that had the potential, but, I mean, it's almost like a who's who. So I'm just going to jump right into it. Number five was Philadelphia Eagles tight end, not their starter, not Zach Ertz, Brent Celek. Kind of a blast from the past. Brent Celek had four targets, four receptions for 134 yards. So he caught all of his targets. He made them count. A little over 17 fantasy points. Number four, Washington Redskins tight end Jordan Reed. He comes in at four targets and three receptions, but two touchdowns out of the three receptions. So here's the thing about Jordan Reed. All the potential, all the talent in the world, injury bug kills him. He did not have a big day from a receiving yard standpoint, but he found the end zone twice, and that's what matters. And his team was really blowing out the other team, so they were just spreading the ball around. But Jordan Reed still comes in on the list. Number three, Ty's favorite player, he's back, Gary Barnidge for the Cleveland Browns, a little over 18 fantasy points, six receptions, 65 yards, and he found the end zone. Gary Barnidge, way to go. Number two, Big Gronk. Not being number one, he is number two. And when I tell you who trumped him, you may hang up the phone. Rob Gronkowski comes in a little over 22 fantasy points. Targeted seven times, five receptions, 113 yards, and a touchdown. The Giants could not do anything with Gronk. I'm really surprised they didn't use him more. He's just uncheckable. They can't hold him. But number one, backup tight end for the Chicago Bears, Zach Miller. Zach was targeted 5 times. He caught every single target for 107 yards, 2 touchdowns for a little over 27 fantasy points. Zach Miller is owned in 1% of Yahoo Fantasy League. Saha, what's your thoughts on these tight ends?
Well, you know what my thoughts are about tight ends every week. It's Gronks and then everybody else. Well, we can just talk about when it comes to tight ends on who is not there. I think that's more of a topic than who is there in the top five. Jimmy Graham, mm-hmm. Martellus Bennett, Tyler Eifert. These guys should be on this list every week, Brandon. Every week.
Yep.
Every week they should be on this list. Tyler Eifert catches 2 of the 3 balls. He's on this damn list. Martellus Bennett does anything. He's on this list. Obviously, Jay Cutler is trying to go to his tight end, but Martellus Bennett doesn't want to catch anything. And who the hell knows what's going on with Jimmy Graham? I mean, tight ends are becoming a position, Brandon. I hate to say it. You have to just, and I said it earlier in the year, you just have to play tight ends by the matchup and just play a different one every week. There's no reason for you to go out there. In every league this year, I went and spent some money on tight ends. I didn't get Gronk, but I have Jimmy Graham. I have Martellus Bennett. I have players like that. Tyler Eifert. Tyler Eifert's been good here and there, but I am very disappointed. Next year, I'm going to go with that. I'm going to stack up on running backs and wide receivers like I do every year, get a good quarterback, and then just play, pick up and drop tight ends. Because if you get 8 points, you're matching up with the next guy. The only person you can't beat is the guy that has Gronks. That's how sad this tight end position has become now, and that's really bad.
Yeah, it's really, really bad. It's funny you bring up Jimmy Graham. I mean, Jimmy didn't even break the top 20. When it came to coming to tight ends, and I think one of the questions we had last week, you know, one of our fans asked, hey, should I start Charles Clay or Jimmy Graham? And, you know, I told him Charles Clay, and I guess it caught him off guard, and, you know, maybe it just kind of shocked him. But, this is why I said don't play Jimmy Graham. I mean, Jimmy was targeted 8 times. He caught 3 of his targets for 41 yards. That's it. I mean, that was his day, and it was just like he gave you nothing. Now, Charles Clay didn't blow up the spot, but he did damn better than Jimmy Graham. I mean, Charles Clay was targeted 6 times. He got 5 of his 6 targets for a little over 52 yards. I mean, it's just you got to play the matchup. He's playing the Jets, you know. So, Jimmy, it just hasn't worked out. Let's call it what it is. It hasn't worked out. You know, he's only went over 100 yards once this year. He has 2 touchdowns. His highest reception game was 8 receptions. You know, Jimmy Graham used to do this in his sleep. This was a half for him, you know. And I understand Seattle's not a passing team, but still they got opportunities to get Graham involved and extend the chain. You know, there was one week where he was targeted 12 times. He's only been targeted double digits twice this year. So it's not that he's just playing terribly. He's just not being used a lot in the passing game. You know, he's just not. So, these tight ends, man, it is crap. It is what we call crap. So these tight ends are just they're just disappointing. They're very, very disappointing. All right, so let's see. So went to our tight ends. We got Taha back. Rama, can you hear us?
Yep, I'm back.
All right, perfect, perfect. All right, so went through the tight ends. We try to do the best we can with these tight ends. They're not very sexy. They're not not a lot there, but it kind of is what it is. Now, you know, we talked a lot about we always update you guys on injuries. We, you know, we talked a little bit about that and how that just kind of plays a huge part in fantasy football. Now, you know, Ty and I, we answer questions on Twitter, and we thank you guys for sending us those questions. continue to send us those questions using hashtag to the point two, with the number two. However, we also, you know, we'll suggest like waiver wire pickups and, you know, players to kind of keep an eye on. And, you know, for them, it's pretty evident with all the injuries, some of the players that you want to look at. I know one of the most popular pickups I saw this week was Danny Amendola. You know, if you're not aware of the news with Julian Edelman, he was injured this past Sunday, projected to be out 4 to 6 weeks. And so that obviously will give, you know, players like Danny Amendola, Brandon LaFell will give them more looks. Now you can go crazy over Brandon LaFell. Julian Edelman's down. You know, now you can go crazy over Brandon LaFell. You know, maybe that'll make him the quote-unquote guy that everyone thinks he's supposed to be. But that Julian Edelman going down, that's a hard pill to swallow. So Danny Amendola was a huge waiver wire pickup this past week. And if there was any player that I would recommend outside of Danny Amendola to either pick up, stash, especially if you're in deep leagues, two running backs that I would say you want to look into. One, Miami Dolphins running back, rookie running back, Jay Ajayi. You know, he was a guy that was injured at the beginning of the season, coming in training camp, and so it slowed his progress. But they like him, and each week they've been getting him more and more involved in the offense. They've been very vocal about getting him involved. And I think he's a really good running back, some good skills. He was highly touted in that draft. So Jay Ajayi, running back from Miami Dolphins. And the second guy, you know, we had high expectations for him. He was a bit of a letdown. But with the recent circumstances, I think they're about to start getting him more involved and getting him some touches. So I think if you're in a 12 or 14 team league, then you can go ahead and take a shot on Detroit running back Amir Abdullah. Joyke Bell's banged up, you know, been kind of struggling the last couple of weeks, and several higher-ups in the Detroit organization have voiced being able to get Amir Abdullah the ball more. So I look for Amir Abdullah to start getting some opportunities in these last couple of games. So those are the two players that I would suggest you guys go pick up. Anyone you got, Tyler?
Yeah, so you know how you mentioned that Danny Amendola is the flavor of the week this week, and then Brandon LaFell, for whatever league he was available, is getting picked up. I don't like either one of them. Do you know who I like on that team? Dobson. Let me tell you why, okay? I've watched the Patriots for a long time, and the Patriots, what they do is they adapt, folks, okay? So you got to look at what Wes Welker did on the offense, right? And then when Wes Welker went away, they got Julian Edelman to fill the same void, right? And you got to remember, you got to go back in time when they had Aaron Hernandez and Gronkowski, right? So when they lose players, they fill in the void or they change up their game plan, okay? What I think is going to happen moving forward is Gronk's is going to get more targets per game. And I can't believe I'm saying he's going to get more than what he does, okay? Because Gronk is going to take a lot of those plays in the middle of the field that Julian Edelman was going to, right? And they're going to take deeper shots down the field, okay? That's what they're going to do. Because Gronk's going up the middle, safety's got to come up. Okay, and it's not that they don't respect Julian Edelman. It's because they know that a cornerback can tackle Julian Edelman. A cornerback cannot tackle Gronk, okay? So the safety's going to come back. And what's going to happen is you're going to get one-on-one coverage with Dobson. He's the fastest guy on the team. He's going to win those coverage. If Tom Brady gets one-on-one, he's going to you. I tell you right now, and we have it on the show, right? And if I'm right, we will air this shit before the show starts. Dobson is going to be the main man moving forward. He is going to be the guy that's going to fill up the void for Julian Edelman. Not the main man as the wide receiver, but he's going to be the man that picks up what people are thinking is going to be left off the table for Julian Edelman. I don't think it's going to those guys. I think, you know, Gronk takes on what Julian Edelman was going to do. Okay. And then Danny Amendola gets a couple more catches a game, but he's been getting about 6-7 catches. That's about his cap, okay? So he's going to fill in a little bit on what Gronk was doing, and now they're going to take shots down the field. If you've been looking at the Patriots' offense, they've been beating people without taking shots down the field. It's time to take shots, and Dobson's the guy. That's who I blow the shit off. I mean, I expect him to go off like nobody's business. That's my guy,
Dobson. There it is. All right, there it is. And, you know, it's recorded. It's on this show. I haven't heard any other fantasy outlet mention Dobson. So if Ha-Ha is right, it's huge. You heard it here first. And I actually like it. You know, New England is unpredictable. I think Belichick hates fantasy. And so whatever the consensus is saying, he's going to go the opposite. And I'm not buying that they're going to feature Amendola. I'm not buying that. They've had opportunities to do that, and they have not. That's because of a reason. So I like it. I really, really do. So, I mean, that's basically our top dogs. I mean, for the sake of the time, you know, we went a little heavy in the beginning, but we had a lot of football to talk about. But join us again Friday. You know, stay tuned. Check our website, tothepoint.weebly.com, so you can get our schedule and see when we're going to be broadcasting shows again. We'll have our DraftKings edition set up for Friday. So, like I said, just pay attention to the website so you can get the times. And so, for once again, I'm Brandon Robertson, Ha-Ha Lyman, and we are signing off to the point.